Last week we tried to set up a context of learning how to trust God. And we said to you that there were six phases of faith. And this week we want to delve a little deeper into the first phase of that. And that's to help you understand that God's dream for your life. Every person in here, God has a dream for your life. I don't think you heard me. God has a dream for your life. Has nothing to do where you were born, the color of your skin, who your mom and daddy was or was not. God has a dream for your life. It doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make, how much education you have or don't have, how many mistakes you've made or not made. God has a dream for your life. Well, preacher, if that's the case, then how do I get the dream? How do I get the kind of dream that God wants me to have? I want to help you understand this. Your dream determines your destiny. We shape our dreams, and then they shape us. I've come to the conclusion that there is no such thing as great people. There are ordinary people committed to great dreams. When you commit yourself to great dreams, it draws something out of you and helps you to become larger than you would have become any other way. God uses dreams in our life to direct us, to shape us, and to define us. Your dreams not only determine your destiny, but your dreams determine your dignity, how you feel about yourself. If you don't have a dream for your life right now, you feel like you're just existing. Why am I here? What am I here for? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I go to work? What's the purpose of life? If you don't have a dream, no dream means no esteem. When you get God's dream for your life and you begin to fulfill the plan for which He made you, then you'll feel better about yourself. Nothing is more important after you come to know Jesus Christ than to get God's dream for your life. It's the reason you exist, your purpose for living. When you don't have it, you just drift around. It's only when you discover why God made you and what He wants you to do with your life does God make sense. Jeremiah 29:11, we know the verse. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God's dream for me, first off, is personal. It's personal for you. Not just a plan for the world, but it's a plan for you. It's a positive plan. God's dream will always give you hope. When you find hopeless people, there are folk who are not in touch with God's dream for their life. So again, I've got to raise the question, how do I get God's dream for my life? Well, first of all, you need to dedicate all my life to God. Well, some of us got off the train right there. You've got to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do in advance before He tells you. The text says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service. Don't conform to the standards of this world, but let God transform you. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. If you commit yourself, if you dedicate yourself, if you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, then you will know God's will. You can't miss it if you're seriously committed to God. Comma there. When you go in a work environment, you don't conform to the workers there. You're working to the glory of God. So you should never work down to fit in, but you should work up to raise the standard. So nobody should have to beg you to work. Nobody should have to watch your time and worry about you sneaking out. You're there to glorify God. So nobody should have to have an honor system, because when you showed up, you brought honor with you. What is his will like? It's good. You notice I didn't get a whole lot of pleasing on that work thing. It's good. It's pleasing, and it's perfect. This perfect in the Greek sense means his will fits me. It matches me. It's just what I want to be, what I ought to be, could be, and should be. So how do I discover? The scripture says offer. I've got to dedicate every part of myself. Dedicate my time, my talents, my treasures, my relationships, my past, my present, and my future. If you don't do this, you're never going to discover God's dream for your life. It says, don't conform to the standards of this world. Why does he throw that in there when he's talking about God's dream? Because most people miss God's dream because they're not looking at God, but they're watching everybody else. They're watching what everybody else does. They want to keep up with the Joneses and be like everybody else. If you're trying to imitate somebody else, you're going to be a carbon copy of somebody else instead of what God has made you to be. The number one reason people miss God's dream is because they're hung up with trying to fit in somewhere where God never meant for them to fit in. Get God's dream for your life and not the American dream. The American dream and God's dream are two very different things. The American dream used to be a very easy thing to get 30 years ago. It meant you buy a home in the suburbs, dad goes to work, mom stays home and bakes cookies. Ward and June Cleaver, Ozzie and Harriet, father knows best. The American dream was pretty affordable for most people. It didn't involve a whole lot. But today, the American dream is all-consuming concern. It usually takes both the husband and the wife to even try to keep up. The rat race becomes our total focus. If you want to get serious about what God's dream is for you, your life, you have to decide if you're going to settle for the American dream or for God's dream. The good life or God's life? Materialism or ministry? Rat race or God's race? Dedicate yourself and don't worry about being like everybody else. Repeat that, Pastor. Dedicate yourself and don't worry about being like everybody else. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first verse, here's what it says. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. God has a particular life course for you to run. If you're always looking at other people, you're going to end up running their race. God has a particular life race for you to run, and nobody else can run it. He tells us to focus on that and lay off all the excess baggage. Anybody carrying excess baggage, just raise your eyebrows. Sometimes your excess baggage is relationships, friendships that are pulling you down because they have goals that counter to what God has for your life. You can't always please the crowd and God at the same time. You dedicate your life to God, dump the excess baggage. A lot of things aren't necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary. There are a lot of things I could do in my life to keep me from the best, for what God really wants me to do with my life. So I've got to look at my life and say, what's in my life that's keeping me from the best that God has for me? The second thing I've got to learn to do, I've got to learn to reserve some time alone with God. Now, this is hard because most of us are scared to be by ourselves. Here's one of the things I've discovered. It's simple, but it's profound. You have to be quiet in order to hear God speak. If you want to hear God's vision, then you're probably going to have to turn off the television. You can't listen to God and the haves and have-nots at the same time. The reason why God may never speak to you is because you're never quiet. Something is always going on in your mind, and God's trying to get through to you on the telephone of life, and he keeps getting a busy signal. We've got to reserve time alone with God. Job, come here and help me. Job 37:14. Job, pause a moment and listen. Consider the wonderful things God does. God wants to spend time with you. Why in the world would the creator of the world want to spend time with me? I don't know, but he does. He says, pause, be quiet, get alone, learn solitude so I can talk to you. Is getting God's dream for your life worth a day of your life? Take a personal day for just you and God. Have you ever taken an entire day and done nothing but be alone with God? Talk to God in prayer. Let God talk to you through the Bible. Relax. Think. Write the thoughts he puts in your minds. Set some goals. Look through your schedule. Set your priorities. Spend the day saying, God, where do you want me to go? What direction do you want my feet headed? You think you don't have time for this. You have time to try to figure out what's on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't do this, you'll never discover God's dream for your life. And so I've learned God speaks to people who take time to listen. This is not a one-time shot. This needs to be some kind of regular occurrence. We call it here quiet time. You deserve some quiet time. The third thing you have to do if you're going to get that God's dream in your life, you got to learn to evaluate your abilities. If you want to know God's will, you got to examine what you're good at. Why would God give me certain gifts, abilities, and talents and not use them? That would be a waste. He gives you talents, abilities, gifts, experiences, a certain kind of personal bent, that's your personality, that make you, and when you look at this seriously, it gives you direction as to where you should go with your life. Ask yourself, and don't lie to yourself, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What is my passion? What turns me on? What turns me off? What is it that people affirm in you? How can he use those abilities for his kingdom? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, to devote ourselves to the good deeds for which God has designed us. You have to understand that word in the Greek, it simply means we get the word poem from it. You are God's poem. You are a work of art. You are unique. There's nobody like you. You did not come off an assembly line. But there's more of life than just being unique. God wants you to be unique, but he also wants you to be effective. He says he designed you that way to do good deeds for which God has designed us. Even before we were born, God predesigned a role for you in life. He said, I'm going to make this person and give them certain gifts, abilities, and talents, and I'm going to allow them to go through certain experiences, some good and some incredibly painful. Some are educational, and some you have to go through 5 or 6 times. He says, I'm going to bring all of these things together because I want something done in the world that will take the kind of person that you are to do it. And that's why you've gone through all the stuff you've gone through. You wouldn't be you if you hadn't gone through some of the stuff you've gone through. If you don't use those experiences for what God intended, you'll miss the point. One day, we'll stand before God and say, what did you do with what I gave you? And retired is the wrong answer. That's not what I'm expecting you to do with the talents and experience I gave you. I had a plan. I predesigned it before you were born. We are saved to serve. See, most folk in church talk about being saved. But the only reason you were saved was to serve. So it brings up the debate, if you're not serving, then are you saved? Because he didn't save you to sit. It's called having a ministry, using your talents and gifts to help other people. Fulfillment means being what God meant for me to be. Here's what 1 Peter says. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. He's given you these abilities. That means they are unearned. So your gifts and talents are unearned. What you're good at, you didn't earn it. You can't take pride in it. It's nothing something you thought of. When God has given someone the ability to coordinate, coordination of a schedule, that's a gift. When God gives another coordination with the basketball, that's a gift. Why take pride in it? It did not come from you. God gave it to you. It's a gift. You shouldn't go around comparing your gifts to other folks' gifts. He's more gifted than somebody else. Well, who are you to determine that? One of the other reasons why millions of people miss God's dream is that they're always comparing themselves to other people. We blame other people. God says if you're faithful in small things, you'll be faithful in greater things. God is testing you where you are. God doesn't give you two blessings until you use the first blessing. The way you build a talent is by using what you've got. It strengthens and gets strong and better. The Bible says this, to those who have, more will be given. That sounds unfair, but it's because they use what they got. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Romans 12:6 says, we are to use our different gifts in accordance to the grace God gives us. So you don't bless folk because they deserve it. You bless folk because it's according to God's grace. So if God has sent you grace and gave you grace, then we have to give our gifts in grace. The purpose of the church is first to help people come to know Christ and second to help you discover God's dream for your life. It's called ministry and your life message. You don't get credit for attending New Salem, for coming to church. God says, what did you do with the gifts I gave you to make the body of Christ better? Now, let me help some of you. You're never too young to get God's dream. And you're never too old to get God's dream. The Bible says, your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall have visions. The Bible says that God has a dream for your life. At the New Salem Church, we're committed to helping you discover what that is and helping you fulfill it. There are two more steps in doing God's dream. Here's the next step. Associate with godly dreamers. Now tell somebody, he's getting ready to talk about your friends, but don't take it personal. Hang out with people who are also trying to discover God's dream for their life. Both dreams and discouragement are contagious. The people who are our closest friends are either going to help God's dream for your life or they're going to hinder it. So look at your friends and decide who's helping me in God's dream and who's keeping me from God's dream. You better choose the people who are closest to you very carefully. I've seen many people miss God's dream because a friend had no interest in them achieving God's dream. If you want to get God's dream, you want godly dreamers around you. It's caught, not taught. It's contagious. You ought to hang around some godly dreamers. This is the importance of being in a church family. It's kind of hard to hang around godly dreamers and you ain't never in the body of Christ. God never gives you a dream for isolation. You come to know Jesus Christ, and then you get into a church family. If you want to know God's dream for your life, start hanging around these normal people here who are saying, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. As iron sharpens iron, friend sharpens friend. Your grandparents knew this. We've kind of changed this thing now. If you're my age, your parents knew this. When you start hanging around certain people, they want who they people? Where they live at? We need to meet them because they realize that iron sharpens iron. And if you was hanging around folk who had no godly vision, your folk wouldn't say they were sorry. They just said, well, they can come over here. They can spend the night here. They can eat with us. But every time you ask about going over there, well, I don't think so. They had a way of screening who you had access to
Because they want to make sure you were hanging around some folk who would not take from you, but help encourage you to go after what they were encouraging to go after. That's why they want to meet your friend's parents. What they daddy do? Where they people from? Now all we ask, do they have money? Some broke folk gonna be better than some rich folk when it comes to being your friends. Bad friends ruin the noblest people. If you want to soar with the eagles, you can't keep running with the turkeys. If you want to break out of a rut, some of you need to change your friends. Now don't go to work tomorrow. Don't call nobody this afternoon and say, Pastor Troy, I can't be your friend no more. I know y'all. Some of y'all texting them now. Can't meet you for brunch. Got something else came up. Some of you need to make some friends here in this church family to build God's dream in your life. I get amused and amazed because sometimes people come to talk to me about what they want to do and they have dreams, and they don't realize the person who can make that dream come true is sitting three rows in front of them. But if you never speak to them, if you never talk, get to know folk you don't know. That may be the person who helps you fulfill your dreams. And then this next issue. Make my dreams public. Grab somebody's hand because we're getting ready to go through turbulence. Why should I announce my dreams to everybody else? Ain't it just between me and God? Well, when you make your dreams public, it's a demonstration of your faith. And other people will start coming out of the woodwork to help you. Some of you have had a dream and had no one to help, but you haven't shared it with anybody. Just by telling other people, you're making a statement of faith, and other people will come alongside to become a part of it that you don't even know. You see it, you sense it, and then you state it. You visualize the dream first, and then you verbalize the dream. Visualize, verbalize. Stop keeping your dreams to yourself. If your dream ain't crazy, it ain't from God. If it ain't impossible, it ain't from God. This is what I believe God wants to do in my life. A goal is a statement of faith. 2 years ago, driven by our staff and leadership, we said to this congregation that we were going to develop some new dreams and some new goals. And we called it Daring Faith. And we said to you that one of the things we would do would develop 500 transformational leaders through a comprehensive discipleship program. We said we'd advance New Salem ministry and missions opportunities by retiring all of the church debt. And I'm glad to report as of today, in the last year and a half, we have retired $1 million worth of church debt. We said we would revitalize the Golden Triangle or adopt the five blocks around our church through Salemizing our streets to get to know our neighbors. We said we'd increase our domestic and foreign missions by 50% in order to expand our global impact and address critical life-changing needs around the world. We said we'd nurture the growth of our weekly worship experience worshiper by our 110th church anniversary. And then we said we'd generate a pursuit of healthiness through the development of a community of caring wellness initiative. I'm happy to report to you on February 20th, we will do an open house with Molina Health Association to begin to use Zenyame as a place for this community to come and be able to get health and wellness. We're going to open up the building so the community can be blessed. We want to thank Molina for that kind of faith and that kind of partnership to say, you know what, health starts with us. It's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to put it in place. God will send you people that you knew nothing about to say, we want to come alongside you because we believe in what you're doing. Sometimes other folk got to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. So there are three effects of publicly stating your dream. It gets you started. Because once you put it out there, you can't afford to procrastinate. Now that you've announced it, you're accountable to try, and you're having to get moving. Secondly, it attracts other people's support. The moment I stated my dream, or we stated our dream, people wanted to get involved. A dream for God will attract people that you don't even know yet and will help you. We've had more and more folks say, if New Salem's going to get involved in Linden, then we're on board. That's why we can't look the other way. That's why we just can't be comfortable taking care of ourselves. Linden needs us, and we need Linden. It's a mission field. As much as Liberia is, so is Linden. We got children who still need to hear from us, be educated. We got adults who still need us to affirm them. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get comfortable in your well-doing. And thirdly, it releases God's power. Because of your faith, you step out of the boat and started walking on water. And when you start walking on water, God's got to hold you up. What is faith? It's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, and even though we can't see it, it's on its way. It's like expecting a package and you get notice. It's in the mail. It hadn't been delivered yet, but it's on its way. The first phase of faith is a dream. It starts with a dream. Nothing happens in your life until you start dreaming. I'm not saying just think it up, whatever you want to think of. I'm saying take God seriously. I dare you to dream and get dreams from God. It doesn't cost a penny to dream. Acts, come here, David, and help me. David served God's purpose for his generation, and then he died. That's what I want people to say about me, that we serve God's purpose in our generation, and then we fell asleep. That's what I hope people will say about you and about me. Acts 20 comes and says, I reckon my own life worth nothing to be in order that I may complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord gave. God, don't let me die before I get finished doing what you've called me to do. So what's your dream? Not the American dream. What's God's dream for your life? You must be willing to say, I'm going to conform to the standards of this world. I'm not going to conform, but go for the glory, God's glory, and go for it. I'm telling you, it won't happen overnight. We've been 2.5 years now in this Daring Faith thing, and some stuff we've gotten done, but we still got work to do. But I understand this. Your roles determine your goals. If you're married, part of your dream involves your children and your spouse. If God gives you a dream, it won't be ignored what they think, and you go on. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get the whole household involved in your dream. And I just want to say something to the men, and don't take it personal. But brothers, it's time for you to start leading your house spiritually. I'm tired of women coming to you and saying, well, we're going to go here, we're going to go there. The buck stops with you, brother. And God says, you are the spiritual head of the household. You set the temperature in the house. You lead and stop following. God never called you to follow that situation. Well, she's more spiritual. Why? You don't know how to pray? You can't ask God for guidance? You a man. Why are you a man everywhere else but in the church? Why do you lead everywhere else but in the church? God, deliver me from weak men. I'm not saying don't get your wife's input, but get God's input first. And if you follow God, she'll follow you. She already saved. Don't retard the spiritual growth of your family. Conform it with the people closest to you. I'm telling you now, Sister Troy hadn't been 100% behind me coming to this church. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody else would have been the pastor of this church. Because I depend on her spirituality. I depend that she knows God. But it's not going to go against what God has told me, because God's not going to give us two different messages. And she would have not agreed. It may have been the right dream, but not the right time. There's seasons in life. My brothers and my sisters, I beg you this morning, don't spend the time listening to nightmares and mistaking them for God's dreams. Don't waste your life fooling around with folk who never want you to achieve what God has for you. What God has for you, he has for you. What God has for you, he has for you.
What God has for you, He has for you. Your friends don't have to sign up. Your family don't have. God will make it clear to you. My brother, my sister, He's a clear, motivating God. He will make it clear to you. Matter of fact, your happiness, your fulfillment depends on you fulfilling God's dreams in your life.
I've been doing this for 35 years now. And I'm glad to report there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. Because I'm doing what I'm purposed to do. I'm doing what God meant for me to do it. And not only am I doing the right thing, but I'm doing it in the right place. I don't care who comes here, who has a great holler. Nobody right now can pass a new sailor but Keith Allen Joy. Why? It's my purpose and it's my time. That's why you don't ever have to be insecure about other folks' gifts. God gave you gifts. Use your gifts to do what you can do. I'm never going to sing a solo, but I'm sure going to go to work after the solo is done. That's why I have great musicians and great song people, because that's not my gift. Don't be jealous of other folks' gifts.
And so I dare you to get to work on the first phase of your life. To trust God, you got to demonstrate your faith. The only way you can demonstrate your faith is by asking God, what is your dream for my life? And once you get that dream, we'll talk about it next week. You got some decisions you got to make. Because too many folk go to hell with dreams and never make decisions. God doesn't give you a dream to frustrate you. He gives you a dream to get you busy and motivated and moving. And with that, we open the doors of church.